Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
You guys ready for the word? Thank you so much, Pastor Steve. Thank you so much, everyone who's contributed to us getting to this place. And you can feel like, oh yeah, we just moved from Beau Morris to 15 minutes along the way or 10 minutes, but it's been a crazy journey. It's been a crazy ride. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's prayed, everyone who's contributed in so many different ways. But praise be to God. Here we are. So as I've just been praying and thinking about this place, as we've been moving, the word that just kept coming to me about this new season, this next chapter, this next step, was about this place being an entry point. This place being a doorway. This place being a gate. This place being a portal. All for God. An entry point for people to come and know His love. An entry point for people to come and meet Jesus. Yes. Yes. Doorway. Gateway. And those words, they made me go back to Genesis 28. So today we're going to look at Genesis 28. And the title of the message is House of God. House of God. Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. This is when Jacob, what a deceiver, what a cheat, what a smart man. He made many good decisions, he made many bad decisions. A great leader, Jacob was. But there's so much to learn from his life. He took the birthright from his brother Esau. What a sneaky man. Jacob, the father of Israel. So Jacob has just done all that. He's cheated Isaac. He's cheated his brother. But his dad's blessed him. He now knows it was Jacob. Then he actually says, hey, I'm going to send you to my brother-in-law's house, Laban. And I want you to go there and I want you to marry one of his daughters. Hey, bit of incest. I don't know what's going on those days. But that's what he asked him to do. We don't do that these days, do we? No. So anyway, Jacob is to go from Beersheba all the way to Laban's place. But this journey was actually 550 miles. It was a long journey. So whilst he's on this journey, we get to this part where Jacob has a dream in Genesis. Genesis chapter 28 verse 10 says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar. and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz. And at the first, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I've set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will give you a full tenth. House of God. What an encounter, what a dream that Jacob has. There's so much in that scripture. Talks about this ladder, this stairway. Certain different versions say ladder, some say stairway. But there was this point going from earth, it was going all the way up to heaven. And Jacob sees angels ascending and descending. And he hears the Lord speak in this place. What a place. What a place. This all just brings me to this point of house of God. What is it that a house of God looks like? But that same verse where it talks about angels descending and ascending, those same words are used by Jesus in John 1:51. Let's go to John 1:51 real quick. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He's talking to Nathanael. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. So Jacob has this picture of this ladder, of this stairway. That picture was actually of what was to come. And this is when it fully came, when Jesus had come. And he says, you're going to see this. He's actually saying, I am the ladder. I am the stairway that connects you, that connects us to God, to his presence. So you think about the house of God. What does the house of God look like? That's what we want to think about for a few moments today. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? And I could tell you so many things about the house of God, but there's just a few things that God's really impressed on my heart about the house of God. And the first thing is that a house of God is a house of prayer. House of prayer. The house of God is a place which is a house of prayer. Prayer. Who loves to pray in this place? Who needs to grow in prayer in this place? Prayer. It's such a key to all that God is doing, has done, and wants to do. So a house of God is a house of prayer. In Genesis 28:17, it says, Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Think about Jesus himself. When he walks into the temple, and the temple has been changed, turned into a marketplace. People are trading Bitcoin in the market. I mean, they're trading sheep. They're trading birds. They're selling goods in the temple. Jesus loses it. He cracks it. He starts to turn tables. And he says in Matthew 21:13, he says, it is written, my house, his house, shall be a house of prayer. But he says, instead, you're making it a den of robbers. The house of God is to be a house of prayer. Prayer is actually the key. We've been given the key to access heaven's intentions, heaven's heart. Oh, Steve, we know that. Yeah. How are you going with your prayer life? How am I going with my prayer life? A house of prayer. This is the key for you and I to access God's intentions, God's heart to be aligned with His will. Prayer is the key to accessing heaven. This is how we enter into the things of God, through prayer. We got a key. You get that key. Jenny, thank you so much for that orange key. It opens every door into this place. She's giving me a special key. But God's given you and I a key to enter in to the things of God. So prayer is the key to enter in. But it's not just about us entering in. Through prayer, heaven enters in. Heaven invades. What am I talking about? The disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? They knew where He would sleep. They knew how He would eat. They knew who He'd stop for. They knew what He was about. But they knew there was something special about this man. Something that centered Him. Something where everything flowed from. And that's the one thing they asked Him. Jesus, teacher, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. That's what they asked Him. It is the key. A house of prayer. A people of prayer. What does Jesus say to them in Matthew 6? He says, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your rule and reign come. Into my life. Right here on earth. That's the ladder right there. That's the gate of heaven right there through prayer. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is the key. But it's more than just prayer meetings. We love prayer here. We pray before the service at 9 o'clock. We pray during the week at 12 o'clock on Fridays. We pray once a month here on Wednesday nights. But it's more than just the prayer meetings. It's about you and I being a people of prayer. Is prayer our first response? Is it our first response in all that we do, in all that comes up? It's about humility. It's about depending on God. Prayer. We are a house of prayer. Being a person of prayer wherever you are. Not just up here when we're praying for people, but everywhere you go. Being a person of prayer. Teach us to pray. So church is to be a house of prayer. If there's one thing we want where we are to be known for, is prayer. We want people to know, man, I can come here and I'll get prayed for. I want people to know that if they bump into you on the street, they're like, I'm going to try and ask for prayer before she says, can I pray for you? Come on, we should just be covered in prayer. We should be known for prayer because we carry heaven. So if we carry heaven in us, let's not hold it back from people. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Church is to be a house of prayer. But the trend in churches has been to fill the house with many other things. But Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. House of prayer. The house of God is to be a place filled with God's presence. The house of God is a house of prayer, but as it's a house of prayer, prayer actually attracts His presence. More of His presence. More of His presence. As we pray, kingdom comes, heaven comes. His heart is manifest where we are. The house of God is a place filled with God's presence. Back in Genesis 28, verse 15, when Jacob was having this encounter with God, the Lord says to him in verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. The Lord is with us. Are we aware of His presence? See, prayer is awesome, but before prayer comes grace. It's all by his grace. Jacob wasn't praying. God just showed up and started to speak to him in that dream. But he responded in worship. He responded in prayer. And God's presence was there with him. We see Jacob in verse 16 say, "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it." Hey, can you say in your day to day, God is in this place. God is with me. God is involved in what I'm doing. See, Jacob didn't even realize that God was so personal to him. He looked at him as the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But as he starts to have this conversation to him, he responds to God in worship and in commitment. And later on in verse 20 of 28, he says, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. The Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I'll give a full tenth to you." I just pray as I'm just reading through what I'm reading through, talking about what I'm talking about, that God is speaking to you. Could not even be about exactly what I'm saying. But the Lord is speaking to us about what is a house of God. How is my prayer life? Am I aware of God's presence in my life? See, God wants to fill you and I with his presence. It's not just about filling the room. Rather have five people in the room that want to be filled with his presence than 2,000 people in the room that are just like, "Oh, what are those pops in the speakers? What's going on?" Bro, just get into the presence. What is it that makes a house of God? What is it that makes our house, the Alphine's house, our home? What makes it our house? It's the Alphine's. Because we live there. We reside in that house. What is a house of God? It's a place where his presence is. Because God lives in that house. He lives in the people that are in that house. He resides. His presence. See, prayer attracts his presence. A place filled with his presence is one where his voice is heard. See, when his presence is in a place, you hear his voice. Like I'm saying, it's not even so much about the preaching. It could be in the worship. It could be in the walking in. But because his presence is in this place, one of the things in Beaumaris, people would always say to them, "Oh man, the presence of God in this place." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Seriously, I'm like, "What are you talking about?" But what I realize is because we love prayer so much and we've cultivated a spirit of prayer, it attracts his presence that people walk in and they're like, "Wow." Some people are like, "I haven't experienced this for years. These are Christians." But it's because it's a house of prayer and the Lord is attracted to that and he starts to move. His presence is here. A house of prayer is a place filled with God's presence. And it actually attracts the hungry. It attracts the hungry, people that want more of God. It attracts the hungry people, you and I, in our hunger. Anyone who's hungry will want to be in a place where his presence is. But a place filled with his presence will attract the lost. People that have walked away from God. People that have known him but have walked away. It will attract people that don't even know God. We've got a sign out there saying Pneuma Church, a home of Pneuma Church. People are going to be driving past going, "What is that? Get the spelling right. What are those three things. People are like, what are the dashes? But as they're wondering what it is, God's going to be shifting something in their hearts. They're going to go home and start looking things up. They're going to start going to Google and go Pneuma. They're going to see P-N-E-U-M-A. Whoa, the wind of the Spirit. So a house of prayer is a place filled with God's presence and attracts the hungry and the lost. Like if in our day-to-day, we're not getting opportunities or seeing opportunities to share the gospel to the lost, then we're just coming here to play church, right? But we actually come here as small contributors. We come, we're fed, we challenge one another, and we go out there as vessels to share to the lost. A house of God. A place filled with His presence. A house of God. Here we are. It's a place where the Holy Spirit's power is at work. See, you got prayer. You got His presence. The Spirit starts to move. See, what you house will be at work in you. What do you house? What are you housing? What's happening in your heart? Whatever those things are, love, could be hurt. It's going to be at work in you. Is it compassion that'll be at work with you? Whatever you house is what will be at work within you. So as Jesus came, as Jesus lived, as Jesus died, as God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, and He resurrected, and He sent His very Holy Spirit to live with us, to live in us. We have the Spirit in us. We house the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is to be at work in us. So a house of God is a place where the Spirit is at work. Do we make room for the Spirit to move? Do we make room for the Spirit to work? It is this Spirit that does the work. Holy Spirit. It says in Nehemiah, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. What is it that is at work in us? What is it that is at work in houses of God around Melbourne, around the church, around the globe? The Holy Spirit is to be at work. So there's this guy. He's got a name like mine, Stephen. There's so many Steves here today, isn't there? But the real deal, Stephen, in the Bible, not me, he was the first martyr, the first guy that got killed because of his love and confession for Jesus Christ. This guy said these words in Acts chapter 7, 48. It'll come up on the screen. It says, yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. The Most High does not dwell in houses. We're in the house of God. But He's telling us, God does not dwell in houses. You're going too fast. I don't want that verse up yet, sorry. Thanks, Dendai. See, it's not about the building. It's not about the building. We thank God for the building. It's not about the building. It's about God filling the people that come into the building. You can go to that verse now. Acts 7:49, this actually comes from the book of Isaiah, the last chapter of Isaiah 66, verse 1. It says, heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? You see, throughout history, God made His presence available. Whether it was through dreams, visions, but we see God come and tabernacle with the people of Israel in the time of Moses, in the tent of meeting. He would make His presence available in the temple that Solomon built. But God still says that is not good enough. That's not what I want. I need a resting place. He needs a resting place. It's not about the building. It's about God finding a person, a people that he can rest on. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? See, that guy, Stephen, he was just like you and me. He was an ordinary guy. He loved the Lord. In the book of Acts, after the Spirit had been poured out, the church was growing. Numbers was being added to the church. And the apostles were getting caught up, packing up the chairs, feeding people with food. But then people actually started to miss out, not just on the word, not just on prayer, but even the widows were not being fed anymore. And the apostles said, hey, we need to devote ourselves to prayer and to the teaching of the word. So we need to appoint people that can actually do the work, be the deacons, do the distribution. And they say to the people, hey, you pray, you appoint people, and we're going to pray them in. So they pray, they appoint people, and one of the first ones was Stephen. Listen to what the word says about Stephen. Acts 6, verse 5. Let's go in our Bibles. You guys are not getting enough opportunity to open up the word, so let's go. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. What does it say about Stephen? And what it says about Stephen, does the Lord say this about you and I? Acts 6, verse 5. It says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was just an ordinary guy like you and I. We don't know much about his background when you look in the Word. We don't know much about his background. But in Acts 6 verse 8, in the same chapter, talking about Stephen, it says he was full of grace and power. See, what you house will be at work within you. What was at work in Stephen? Power. It said he was doing great wonders and signs among the people because he was full of the Spirit. He was housing the presence of the Lord. So when there is power at work in the house, the Spirit is at work. There's going to be signs and wonders, healing, miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He says the gifts of the Spirit are given to us, to all of us, as he wills. He apportions them as he wills for the common good of all. What gifts are we talking about? The gifts of the Spirit. Words of wisdom. Words of knowledge. Prophecies. Some people walk into a church and go, whoa, there's prophecies? I haven't seen that for years. But it's just an everyday thing for the church. The gift of faith, miracles, gifts of interpretation, gifts of tongues. A house of God is a place where the Spirit's power is at work. We want to see signs and wonders in the house of God. But how? Why? How? It's because there's people, you and I, full of the Spirit. So actually you and I are to be houses of God. We're to be houses of God. Are you a house of God? What are you housing? What else is in your house? Is there enough room for God to fill every space? What's taking priority in the house of God that is in you? See, all these things, we talk about a house of prayer. We talk about a place that's filled with his presence. We talk about a place where his power is at work. It all involves people. It's not about the building. Prayer, we're praying for people. Prayer is not going to happen if there's no person praying. His presence is not going to do much if no one's there or saying anything. It says, in the beginning, when the earth was formless and the Spirit was hovering, nothing was happening until God spoke. It all takes people to make the house of God, to be houses of God, the gift to be exercised by people. You and I are to be houses of God. So is there prayer in you, house of God? Is there prayer in you? Like, yeah, we know this, but actually, is there prayer in me? Man, I want to grow in prayer. I need to grow in prayer. I keep saying the same thing. I read more about prayer than I actually pray. But all I need to do is actually just pray. Just a conversation with the Lord. When we come into a house of prayer, we come full of prayer. Let's be a people that are full of prayer. Are you full of His presence? You know, He wants to fill you and I continually. It's not just a one-time thing. Continually, the Lord wants to fill us. Are His gifts in you? Are you seeing His gifts in your life? It takes faith to exercise those gifts. And the Lord will use whatever gift He wants to at any time. Maybe you're in hospital and someone needs prayer. He will use you to pray for healing. You don't have to be the healing evangelist. All those gifts are available as He apportions. Are people drawn to you because of the house of God that you are? Are people drawn to you because you're full of His presence? Honorable vessels. Are people drawn to you because they've encountered the house of God that you are? So much more than a building, hey? We are to be His houses. Now, He's given us stewardship of the house. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 6 says, your body is a temple of God. You house His presence. You are not your own, it says. You have been bought at a price. Jesus has paid the price for us to be houses of God. So what are you carrying? What are you carrying? What are you a house of? I'm not just a house of God on a Sunday. I'm not just in the house of God on a Sunday. You're not just in the house of God on a Sunday. You are a house of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What about Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Let's do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday too. We're a house of God everywhere we go, wherever He takes us, all the time. It doesn't matter who you're around. It doesn't matter whether they like God or not. God's going to use you by His Spirit that is at work within you to be sensitive to the environment, to know when to speak, to know when to act. Man, it's so easy to be a house of God when we're here, isn't it? But when we walk into different gatherings, different spaces, it's just like, But hey, we have the Spirit in us. It doesn't matter what darkness is in there. Arise, shine, the Lord, He's bringing the light through you. So we're to be houses of God every single day. Can we stand this morning? House of God. His presence. See, God built a house for Himself at that very moment where He breathed the Ruach, the breath of God, into Adam. He built a house for Himself in that very moment. But because of the fall, because of sin, you and I, man, women, ever since then, there's been a resistance to actually be a house of God. God says, can I find a resting place? Can I find a resting place on you? Will you be His resting place? When Jesus is being baptized, the heaven opens. The heavens open and God says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased with. The Gospels tell us that the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. and rested on his shoulder. It says it remained. It remained. His presence is to remain in us. His presence to remain on us. We're to be full of the Spirit. Can we all close our eyes in this moment? I believe this message today is not just for a new Christian, for a lost person, but that it's for all of us, that God is calling us to a drawing back, to being honorable vessels that carry Him well, that carry Him in hunger, that carry Him in humility, that carry Him with patience, that carry His presence in holiness. I just sense a recommitment from all of us to saying, Jesus, we want to consecrate ourselves. You're the one that does the consecrating. Consecrate us. Touch us again. Fill us up again. That, Lord, nothing would stop your presence from flowing in, your presence from flowing out. Nothing would stop us from diving into your presence, being immersed in your presence. Nothing would stop the rivers from flowing out of us, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in this moment. Fill us up again, each person, oh God. We declare that we are your house, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Will you be his house? Will you be his house? Will you be one that makes up the house of God, a house of God in the house of God? Will you be a house of God in the house of God? Fill us up, Lord God. Will you be the hands and feet of Jesus and be the bridge that shows people the way to the Creator, the way to the Savior? Jesus, we thank you that you are that stairway, you are that ladder, that you have made a way.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.